Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 8 lines from the bottom of Daf Zayin Omid Beis. We have a topic heading to the immediate side of the Gemara. That means in the margin, no say, and we indicate Ad Ches Omid Beis, where we've written Sukkah Asuk Kivshon, a sukkah that is in a kivshon appearance, which for our purposes means agula. It's a sukkah in the round. Ma midoseha. What are its necessary dimensions? The reason that this comes up is because we've been exposed to a number of different shitas regarding a standard sukkah, a sukkah with walls and corners to them, and we've seen a sukkah that measures 7 by 7 tefachim, a number that we've spoken about. We've seen Shitas Rebbe 4 by 4 amos, but those are sukkahs that are square shaped. That means they have walls with angles, and the walls are perpendicular to one another. What about a sukkah that is built in the round? What are its dimensions? We have a rare appearance of a firebox marking around Rabbi Yochanan. This marking is used when a name or a point is going to occupy us for more than an omid of Gemara. And that is certainly the case over here, where this discussion will continue till Ches Omid Beis. For any of you or all of you who are enthusiasts of the study of geometry, this sugya will be of particular enjoyment. Let us now open to the Gemara, and of course having your Pirush Chai open at the same time, because we're going to be making reference to the illustrations, opening with illustration 127. So on page 27, the upper part of the page, you see illustration 127. We're looking from above, and we see a circle, and we see a large circle, and within it you see a number of small circles. They represent people. A person, when he is sitting and occupying a spot, we say that a person occupies an amo. An amo by an amo. That's how much space a person occupies. Now we turn to the Gemara. Omer of Yochanan, Sukkah ha'asuya kikivshan, im yesh behekefa, hekefa is the circumference. If this circular sukkah without any angles to it, if it has in its circumference, kidei leishev bo chof dalid b'nei odom k'shera, if there is enough space or size for 24 people to sit around, it's kosher. V'im lav psula. And if not, it's not acceptable. Well, we have a sukkah then that measures 24 amos around, and that's by virtue of the fact that we said that a person takes up one amo. So a circumference of 24 amos. Which of the Tanoim, Rabbi Yochanan being the first generation of Amoroim, which Tano would suggest such a dimension? The Gemara continues with a question. And notice it's a number of lines. And the gist of the question is, which Tano requires something so large, 24 amos around? Even the Tana that had the largest sukkah dimension wouldn't have required 24 amos in the round. what we will be aiming for in this discussion is to see a relationship between a circle and a square. Because up till now, the dimensions that we've been giving you in sukkah terms have been in the form of a square. Here we're seeing a sukkah in the round with a circumference of 24 amos. Who would say such a thing? So the Gemara asks, and here you read the question with a tone of wonderment. Keman kerebi? Is Rabbi Yochanan reflecting the Tanaic opinion of Rabbi Diomar kol sukkah she'ein bo arba amos al arba amos psula? That any sukkah that doesn't have 4x4 amos is unfit? Well, mechti, let's look into this. Gavro ba'amsa Yosef, a person occupies 1 amo. Kol shiesh behekefo shloisha tvachim. Here is a relationship in geometry terms. Anything that has a circumference of 3 tvachim, yesh boi roichav tefach. It will have a width or a diameter of 1 tefach. Now, since we know that Rebbe holds that the sukkah has a side of 4 amos, so it has a width of 4 amos, the width circumference ratio is a 3-to-1 relationship. So if it has a width of 4 amos, the circumference will be 3 times greater. Betresar sagi, 12 will be enough. 12 tfochim circumference should be enough. In other words, if Rabbi Yochanan is along the lines or within Shitas Rebbe, so you want to machshir a circular sukkah, so talk about a sukkah that's 12 amos in circumference. A sukkah that has 12 amos in circumference will have a diameter of 4 amos, and that would seem to reflect Shitas Rebbe. Where does Rabbi Yochanan come off with this 24 amo circle? Illustration 128 shows this 3-to-1 relationship. We continue at the top of Chesomet Aleph. The Gemara answers, Hani Mili Beigula. This 3-to-1 relationship is true if you're dealing with a circle. That, namely, if you have the width or diameter of 1, the circumference will be 3 times greater. Avol beribua, bayotve. But when you're dealing with a square, you'll need more. In other words, we need a circle that would be the equivalent of a square that measures 4x4. In other words, a square like that, we would say, has an area of 16 amos to it. So we need a circle that would be the same size as a square measuring 4x4 amos. Okay, so the Gemara says, Michti, let's continue with our geometry. Kamo meruba yoiser al ho'igol. How much greater is a square than a circle? In other words, if I tell you that a circle has a diameter of 4 and a square has a side of 4, so the square is greater than the circle, by how much? Revi'a, a quarter greater. So, if that's the case, beshitzar sagi, 16 should be enough. Because when you go from 12 to 16, you've increased it by 4. 4 is a quarter of 16. So the question here is, why does Rabbi Yochanan require a circumference of 24 when all that should be required is a circumference of 16? The Gemara says, Hani mili be'igul denofik migoy ribua. This idea that a circumference of 16 would be enough, that is true if you're dealing with a circle that is inscribed within a square. Then we say, as we said before, that let's go over this point again. That which we're suggesting, that a circle of 16 would be enough, we get to that by virtue of looking at the relationship between a circle that was originally inscribed within the square. In such a case, we had a circle that had a circumference of 12 because it had a diameter of 4. That was a circle that was inscribed in the square. And then we asked, well, the square is how much greater than such a circle? And we said it's a quarter greater. So that is all true with regard to a circle inscribed within the square. Avol ribua denofik migo iguda baya tfei mishomusha dekarnasa. However, when you're dealing with a square that is contained within a circle, you require the circle to be greater in order to contain the Mursha de Karnasa, the corners of the square. So we want to have a circular sukkah that will certainly contain the minimum size of a sukkah, according to Rebbe, of 4 by 4 amos. So I've got to have a circle that's going to include such a square. Now, obviously, such a circle is going to be greater than the square. If it's going to contain the square, it's going to be greater than the square. We can also use illustration 134 for this point of the Gemara. We continue in the Gemara. Michti, let's look into this. Again, geometry here. Let's look into this calculation. We know, kol amsa beribua, side of square, amsa trechun shebalachsona, the diagonal of side of square, the diagonal is 1 2/5 greater than the side. So if the side measures 1, the diagonal of such a square will be 1 2/5. If the side of the square is 4, the diagonal will be 5 3/5. Once again, how did we get to 5 3/5? Because we multiplied side 4 by 1 2/5. The diagonal is greater than the side by 2/5. So 1 2/5 times 4 gets you to 5 3/4. As a result of that, I have established the diameter of a circle as well, a circle that will enclose or encompass such a square. This you can see by using the illustrations. We have the illustration printed in the Gemara and the illustration in the Pirush Chai. The diagonal of that square that's going to be contained in the circle that will encompass the square, the diagonal happens to be the circumference. And we stated before that diameter circumference is represented by a 3-to-1 ratio. So if the diameter is 5 3/5 amma, the circle that will enclose that, all you have to do is multiply 3 times 5 3/5. What do you get? You get 16 4/5. The Gemara, as it does very often when you have a fraction, it will give you the whole number minus whatever needs to be subtracted. So the Gemara says, Beshivzar nechi chumshi sagya. Shivzar is 17, nechi minus chumshi 1/5, 17 minus a fifth, in our terms, 16 4/5 sagya would be enough. So what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Rabbi Yochanan said that if you have a sukkah, 24 people can sit around, giving you a circumference of 24 amos, that's what you need. Well, why do you say that? 16 4/5 would be enough to contain a sukkah that measures 4 by 4. The Gemara says, well, lo dok. Rabbi Yochanan was being inaccurate. He was expanding the number. He wasn't being precise. He said 24 when he could have said 16 and 4/5. The Gemara says, Amor diamrina lo dok. When is it that we give such an answer of someone being imprecise? Porto, when it's a slight discrepancy. Tuvo miyamina lo dok, but so much going from where the halacha requires 16 and 4/5. And you tell me that you need 24. That's too great a level of discrepancy to which we can defend Rabbi Yochanan by simply saying lo dok, being, you know, he's being imprecise. Amarle markshisha bre Rav Chisda l'Ravashi. Well, he comes and answers our problem, and he says, "Mi savris gavra ba'amso Yosef." Who says that a person occupies one amo? In reality, tlosa gavri betarti amso yasvi. Three people occupy two amos. In illustration 127, Aleph of the Pirush Chai, he makes reference to this as well. So we're going to work with, now with a new calculation. Three people take up two amos. So 24 people, according to this same calculation, kamo havu, how many, what's the size now of 24 people sitting in the round? Kama havaluhu shitzar, 16. Well, what did we say before in order to have a circle that will contain Rebbe's size sukkah? Rebbe being the assumption right now that Rabbi Yochanan, who is an Amora, has adopted Shitas Rebbe, that you need to have a sukkah of 4x4 amos, and you want to have a circle that will contain such a sukkah, so I know that I have a kosher size sukkah. Oh, so Rabbi Yochanan said a sukkah that has enough room for 24 people to sit in the round. Well, 24 people sitting in the round, right now, we are saying, will account for 16 amos of circumference. But did we not say that in order to contain a square measuring 4x4, you have to have a circle whose circumference is 16 4/5? Anan shivsar nechichusha bo'inon. We require 16 4/5 to have a circle that will contain a square 4x4. How can Rabbi Yochanan then tell me that 16 is enough? When Rabbi Yochanan said 24 people sitting around, he in effect was saying 16 amos circumference is enough. But I need 16 4/5. The Gemara answers, lo dok. Rabbi Yochanan was being imprecise when he said 16. The Gemara says, Amor diamrinan lo dok. I can tell you that someone will state that which is imprecise if the imprecision results in requiring more of the person. So that if the imprecision is larger than that which the halacha requires, then I could tell you someone was being imprecise. His imprecision was going to certainly encompass the halacha, and yet a little bit. However, lakulo miyamrin and lo dok, but to say someone will be imprecise, resulting in a leniency, doing less than the halacha itself requires, would someone speak thusly? In other words, to have Rabbi Yochanan talk about 24 people sitting around, and in effect that being a 16 circumference, when the halacha requires more, 16 4/5, it would be totally irresponsible on the part of Rabbi Yochanan to say, oh, you need to have a 16. Omar le Rav Asi le Rav Ashi le Oilom Gavra be'amso Yosef. In truth, a person takes up one full amma, not three people in two ammas, but rather one full amma per person. Rabbi Yochanan, when Rabbi Yochanan spoke about 24 people, Mokim Gavri lo Kochoshiv, he wasn't speaking about the, his circle did not include the people themselves, but rather it was a circle drawn from within the 24 people sitting around. Illustration 135. In that illustration, you see 24 people sitting around, and you see a circle that is drawn within those people. Granted, the circle drawn around their backs would be 24 amos, but we're not drawing the circle around their backs. We're drawing it from within the people. Well, what are the sizes now? What's the dimension of the circle that's drawn within the people? So before we continue in the Gemara, take note, there's a fan, this picture is very helpful, picture 135. We know the circumference would be 24 if you were drawing the circle around their backs. Well, what about the diameter of such a circle? So we also know that there's a 3-to-1 relationship. So the diameter of circle circumference 24, the diameter is 8. 8 being 1/3 of 24. However, if I'm going to draw the circle from within the people, I can discount, I can subtract establishing the diameter, I can subtract the space occupied by the two people at opposite ends. Each person takes up one amo. So instead of diameter 8, you take off one amo from each end. That's, you're subtracting from the 8 now 2 amos, one per person, diameter 6. So I have a circle, I know that I have a circle whose diameter is going to be 6. So what's the circumference? The circumference is 18. So Rabbi Yochanan speaks about a sukkah whose circumference is 18 amos. So if you have a sukkah built in the round circumference 18, you have a kosher sukkah. That's what Rabbi Yochanan's original statement was to mean. So now the Gemara says, since I'm drawing this circle from within the people, four lines from the bottom of the Gemara, kama havu lehu, how much is the circle? Tamni sari. 18. Circle 18 amos will be the circle Rabbi Yochanan was referring to when he spoke about the 24 people. The Gemara asks, what do you need to have a circle of 18 amos for? B'shivsar nechi chumsho sagyo. 16 and 4/5 circumference would have been enough. As we said earlier, Rabbi Yochanan is based on Rebbe, and a square 4x4 can be contained in a circle circumference 16 and 4/5. Why is Rabbi Yochanan requiring 18? The Gemara says, well, hainu delo dok ulechum lo dok. Here is an illustration of Rabbi Yochanan being imprecise, and it's a minor imprecision. He's simply requiring another amo and a fifth, which is, relatively speaking, when you're dealing with 16 and 4/5 and another amo and a fifth, that's not a big difference. That's a small imprecision. And it's also a chumrah, it's also a stringency. Whereas the halacha, letter of the law, says 16 and 4/5 is enough, Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says, now you should have a little more, 18, have 18. So he's being more stringent upon the individual, requiring more than the halacha itself requires. The Gemara continues with another geometry school of thought, and through which we will attempt to explain Rabbi Yochanan and his 24 circle and the Rebbe shiur of a square 4x4 and paralleling Rabbi Yochanan with Rebbe, but through a totally different geometric calculation. And we should point out ahead of time that which we're about to learn now will be rejected by the Gemara at the top of Omid Beis. So if it sounds kind of amazing as we learn through it, realize that the Gemara will not accept this. As far as how can something that seems to be so distorted be suggested as an answer, that is the discussion that you will find in the commentaries. But for our purposes, we're going to stick to the text and see how there is an attempt at least to present another approach to Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara continues. And the assumption as we go on is that Rabbi Yochanan, when he spoke about 24, is that his 24 includes what's called Mokom Gavri. So Rabbi Yochanan's circle, according to this approach, is a 24 circumference circle. How then is a 24 circumference circle going to be rationalized or explained as being that which will contain a square of 4 and be precise? So let's continue in the Gemara. Rabbonon de Kesri, v'amri lo dayoni de Kesri amri. The Rabbonon of Kesaria, the name of a place, and some say the judges of Kesari, they say. Now there are two halachas that they present. What we are interested in is the second halacha. So that's why we have a bracket. So let's skip then to the top of Amud Beis, where we'll be able to focus on that which is relevant to us. Bearing in mind that our goal is to have a circle that will contain a square like that of Rebbe, measuring 4 by 4 amos. Now, 4 by 4 amos gives me a perimeter of 16. So the Rabbonin de Kesri tell us, now we're skipping, as we said, to the top of Ches Amud Beis, Ribua de Nofik Migo Igula. A ribua is a square. The Nofik Migo, that goes within a circle. It's a circle that will surround the square. Palga. The square is said to be one half less than the circle. Now, when we speak about one half, it means that you take the size of the square, in this case 16, half of 16 is 8, that 8 is then the number, the amount that the square is less than the circle. So that having been said, if I know the square is 16, I add 8, 16 plus 8 is conveniently for us 24, hence that is the circle-square relationship. The square is one half less than the circle, but again, that one half, the way we calculated that was it meant one half of your basic square, and then that is the number that is subtracted from the circumference of the circle that surrounds such a square. So if we say that's the number that's subtracted, all you do is you take your square, which was 16, you add 8 to that, that gets you to 24. Now take the 24, subtract from it half of the square, i.e. subtract from it 8, that gets you to a square of 16. Well, there you go. That is the ratio or the relationship between circle square. Therefore, if you want to have a circle that will contain a sukkah measuring 4 by 4 amos, I've got to have a circle that is greater in how much? It's a half greater than the square that was contained therein. And again, I know we're sounding a bit repetitious, but when we speak about a half greater, it means a half greater of the original square, or you can say in other words, the circle is a third greater than the contained square, 24 being a third greater than 16. But either way, I hope we explained this clearly enough that you understand the word palga that the Gemara just made reference to. However, the Gemara rejects this palga relationship, veloihi, and it is not so. Kochazino de lohavi kulihai. We see, it's clear to us that it's not such a great discrepancy. And we saw that before, that the square whose perimeter measures 16, all you need is a circle whose circumference measures 16 and 4/5, it's a mere 4/5 of an amma greater, that would have been enough. Now, everyone, I'm sure, is asking, well, how could they say this in the first place? We said before, that itself is a discussion in the commentaries, but we're not going to get into that. Now, we did skip another point, the first point that the Rabbeinu Kesri made, but as we said, that wasn't relevant for our immediate discussion, but they did give another relationship, and that had to do, and let's go back to the bottom line of Chesom and Aleph, the Rabbeinu and the Kesri said, Igula denofik migo ribua riva. A circle drawn within a square. Here's where the square surrounds the circle. So that's a circle whose diameter is the same size as the square whose side is. The square has the same size side as the diameter of the circle contained therein. What's the difference between them? How much greater is the square than the circle? So the Gemara says it is riva, a quarter. And if we look at Rashi at the bottom, the igula migo rivua, the circle contained within the square, riva mapik min horibua, you will subtract a quarter from the square, kshata oigil es hamaruba mitocho, when you make a circle within such a square. So, and we saw this, before in some of the things we said, that if you have to take off a quarter of the square, so using numbers, if you have a square who measures 16 in perimeter, a quarter of 16 is 4, subtract 4 from 16, that gets you to 12. So the perimeter of a circle drawn within a square is a quarter less than the surrounding square. Square being 16, a quarter less would be then 12 for the perimeter of a circle drawn within a square 16. But as we said, we weren't dealing in our sugya with a circle within the square. We were interested in the circle that surrounds the square so that I know that I'm covered, and here we're going to use a pun very deliberately. I have to cover all angles. I've got to have a circle containing Rebbe Sukkah so that I know that I have fulfilled my Rebbe Sukkah requirement. We continue at the second line from the top of Omid Beis, and this is a totally new discussion. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, and there will be three points mentioned. Sukkas Yotzrim. Yotzrim are potterers, craftsmen that work with clay. They had an inner sukkah and an outer sukkah. And we have illustrations for this section of Gemara. Illustration 147. There is a sukkah is a term that has a holiday connotation, meaning the holiday of Sukkot. So there's we can call that the halachic sukkah, but the term sukkah also is a term that has general application to what we call a hut. So you have a potterer's hut. The way that they built their huts were, as you can see illustrated there in the picture 147, there's an inner chamber and an outer chamber. That's the Sukkas HaYotzrim. In our title to this section of Gemara, we also have point number two is an abbreviation, Rakbash, and point number three also an abbreviation, Ganbach. The Gemara itself will be fairly clear in explaining these abbreviations. We continue with the Gemara, second line from the top of Omid Beis, Omar Rabbi Levi, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Shtei Sukkos Shel Yotzrim Zu Lifnim Mizu. The double hut of the craftsman, one position inner to the other. In other words, you'd have a street going by there. You have an outer hut and an inner hut. Hapnimis eino sukkah. The inner one will not qualify as a sukkah. In other words, one would not be able to fulfill his sukkah requirements by sitting in that inner hut, even though physically speaking, it's got the walls and it's got a branch covering. It nevertheless, as Rashi says, it's not nikur. It's not obvious that he is sitting in there as what is called l'shem sukkah. So we'll look at Rashi shortly. Nevertheless, we continue in the Gemara. The Gemara says that the inner one is not a sukkah, the chayeves b'mezuzah. It's also obligated in having a mezuzah. The craftsman is there all the time. That's where he spends all of his time. So in looking at a person like that, we'd say he's sitting then in there for his craft, not to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. And since it's of a permanent nature, it also needs to have a mezuzah. V'hachitzayna sukkah. The outer chamber is useful, or through one can fulfill his sukkah obligation by sitting in that outer chamber on the holiday of Sukkot. Uptura min hamezuzah. And it does not require a mezuzah. The Gemara will ask in a moment, why does the outer one not need a sukkah, not need a mezuzah? We'll get to that in Mirtz Hashem a little later. But first we want to focus on the Rashi, explaining the double hut arrangement. We look at Rashi on the third narrow line, Shtei sukos shel yotzrim. Kacho yoderech sheyotzri kli cheres b'yameyam. This was the practice, the standard of the potterers in those days. Oislam shtei sukazu with nimizu. They would have two huts, one contained one more inner than the outer, so an inner chamber and outer chamber. The pnimis hudar umatsnia kederosav. In the inner one, he dwells and he holds there his jugs, his products for safekeeping. Kederosav are his pots or the jugs that he makes. That matsnia means he hides them away for safekeeping. Uvachitzona, who oise malachtoi umoitzi kederosav limkor. In the outer one, that's where he does his work, and he also sells his products from there. So the inner chamber has as its role his dwelling and where he stores his wares. The outer one is where he sits and he does his work, and he sells his wares from there. Penimis ein osukah, Rashi continues, the inner one is not acceptable as a sukkah. Im bo leishe besoicha b'chag l'shem sukkah. If he wants to sit in that inner section to fulfill his sukkah requirements, he won't be successful. V'afa gavdu lo b'inan sukkah l'shem chag, even though, technically speaking, we don't require that when you construct a sukkah, that you construct it with a sukkah's intention, a sukkah's holiday, a sukkah mitzvah intention. That's not necessary. Dokim Beis Hillel Kaimalon. We hold like Beis Hillel Demachshri Sukkah Yishana B'Masnisen, where later in the Mishnah Daf Tes, the Mishnah speaks about a sukkah built more than 30 days before Sukkot. It was built months before Sukkot. Is that kosher? So Beis Hillel says, yeah, it's kosher. Ah, when it was built, you didn't build it with the holiday of Sukkot in mind. That's okay. You don't need to have the building, the construction, lishma, with intention. Nevertheless, hacha, in the case of the inner chamber of the Sukkot HaYotzrim, eino sukkah. It's not acceptable. Delo minkara milsa de l'shem sukkah darbo. It's not obvious, it's not recognizable that he is in there with a holiday mitzvah intention. Once again, it's delo minkara milsa de l'shem sukkah darbo. Deha kol yemois hashana dayer hasam. He's living there all year round anyway. The roif tashmisho sudaso vishinaso sham, and most of his his life, his tashmish means literally his uses and his meals and his sleeping is done over there. So for him to continue through Sukkot, just continue living there like that, that would be a detraction, a reason for disqualifying such dwelling as a Sukkot holiday mitzvah observance. As we said, because he's there anyway, all the time as it is. And as a result of that, it happens to also be chayiv in a mezuzah. The outer one, though, he could fulfill his mitzvah requirement. He doesn't have to knock it down and rebuild it with a sukkah intention. As we already said, according to Beis Hillel, you don't have to have it built with a sukkah, mitzvah sukkah intention. And as far as it being recognizable that he's dwelling in the outer one on the holiday of Sukkot with a sukkah intention, so there you do accomplish that, because during the rest of the year, he's not dwelling in that outer one as a dwelling per se. And now, on Sukkot, he's eating his meals in that outer one, he's sleeping in that outer one, which he ordinarily wouldn't be doing. That creates this heker, this recognition that he is there with a mitzvah intention. So we have a very interesting detail, very fine distinction that we are making in this sukkia. On the one hand, we're ruling like Beis Hillel that the construction of the sukkah itself, the chefse shel sukkah, the item, the physical structure, does not have to be made with a mitzvah intention. Or in Hebrew we'd say asiyosa can be done shelo lishma. The making can be done even without a mitzvah intention. However, from the person's standpoint, from the gavra, from the person's standpoint, in terms of the action of fulfillment, there should be an element of recognition of lishma, of l'shem the mitzvah. Once again, as we said before, a very fine distinction. The element here, we have a contrast regarding the realm of lishma, whereas with regard to the construction of the structure, lishma is not necessary. However, with regard to the behavior of the individual, there has to be, yes, a lishma reflection. That when you look at the person, it appears to us that his behavior, he creates the appearance of a sukkah mitzvah behavior. Now, why are we being so careful in the way we're phrasing this? Because we want to exclude a case of a person sitting in the inner chamber of the Sukkot HaYotzrim with a mitzvah intention. So he could actually be sitting there with a mitzvah intention. He has lishma, and yet we're saying here in the Gemara he will not be in fulfillment. And what's the problem? The problem is that it's not recognizable to others when we look at this person that he is behaving in a lishma fashion. We continue in the Gemara. And as we said, we're continuing more of the fifth line from the top, the last one in the line, ve'amai. Ve'amai is, and why is it that the chitzona is potter from a mezuzah? Why? Okay, so we said he doesn't dwell there year-round. He just works from there. But nevertheless, to have a chitzona kebei shar ha-pnimis v'tischai v'mezuzah, why not say that the outer chamber of the Sukkot HaYotzrim, why is it any less than a base shar? Now, a base shar, there's an illustration 148. It's often used as a guard booth. That is an antechamber to the house, and we know that a beis shar requires having a mezuzah. So why here, in the case of the chitzona, does it not require a mezuzah? The Gemara answers, mishum delo kavua, because it's not kavua, it's not fixed. It's not permanent. Now, what do we mean by that? So let's look at a few points made in Rashi in order to appreciate what he means here when he says, Lo kavia. We're going to look at the Rashi, Uptura min amezuzah. Rashi toward the end of the narrow lines. He says, Uptura min amezuzah li oilam, delav dirahi. The chitzona, the outer hut of the potterer, doesn't need a mezuzah ever. She'eino asuya el lotzei slavo derech sham ulahachnis sham tagorem. It's merely a means, an access point, to get to the inner one and to bring merchants there. The Gemara then asks, and we continue with the Rashi, V'devek ebe shara pnimis, why not consider the outer chamber of the potterer's hut as a base shar, as a gate booth for the inner one? The kaimalon b'menoches perek ba'kaimetz rabba, we hold in Maseches Menoches and perek ha'kaimetz rabba, the chayev b'mezuzah min rabbanon, that a base shar is rabbinically required to have a mezuzah. Base shar is a pirka bilaz. In French, the word is firka. Shelifnei habayis. That serves as an entrance point to a house. So the Gemara continued, and we are reading in the Rashi, first wide line under the Gemara text, Mishum delo kavia, because the chitzona of the potterer's hut is not kavua. Loi zu velo zu dovar kavua. V'ein hapnimis chashuva lios lo base shar. The pnimis is not an established or a fixed place of dwelling. But in addition to that it's not a fixed place of dwelling, the inner chamber is not important enough to warrant, even on a rabbinic level, to have the outer one considered a base shar. So it could be that even though both the chitzona of the potter's sukkah and the base shar are not places of permanent dwelling, but nevertheless, the outer chamber of the sukkah hayotzim has an additional lesser element of significance insofar as that it opens into something that is of lesser significance than a permanent house structure. All it, in the case of the outer chamber of the sukkah hayotzim, it opens into another hut. And hence, the outer chamber, the entrance chamber, is not significant enough, even midrabbanan, to require a mezuzah. Tanu rabbanan. So we continue with the Tanaic sources that elaborate on the terms we mentioned in our introduction. We saw terms rakbash and ganbach. What are we referring to? So we see sources that spell these things out. Tanu rabbanan. Ganbach. The letters there, if Gimel, Nun, Beis, and Chof, are referred to now. Sukkas Goyim, the hut of Gentiles. Sukkas Noshim, a hut that's used by women. Sukkas Behemo, a hut for an animal. Sukkas Kusim, the hut used by Kusim. Kusim are the name of a people, a nation that converted to Judaism under highly questionable circumstances. So they are another category here. And furthermore, sukkah mikol makom, any sukkah, even anything that's less than these, and we'll have to explain that expression later on, kshera. All of these are acceptable for your mitzvah performance, ulvachte misucheches kilchus, provided it's covered with schach kehalocha. What does that mean, kehalocha? My kehilchusa? What do you mean by that? Omer avchista, v'hu sha'asa'a l'tzeil. Provided the covering, the branch covering was put on top for the purpose of creating shade. So that if it was covered for the purpose of creating shade, then it's sufficient for our mitzvah requirement. Rashi points out that when we say it's made for shade purposes, as opposed to a covering simply made for privacy purposes, so that people that might be located above on a hill or on a building next door that's higher that they shouldn't be able to see in, that would not be good enough. It has to be covered, that if, whether it's the goyim or the noshim or for the behem or for the welfare of the animal, it was covered for shading purposes. That is all that is required. Sukkah mikomo koma suye mai. The source mentioned that a sukkah mikomakom is also okay. What does that come to include? La suye sukkas rakbash. It comes to include the sukkah of rakbash, the tona rabbonon, sukkas rakbash. The sukkah of rakbash is, again, abbreviation, four kinds of sukkas. Sukkas royim, the hut used by shepherds. Sukkas kaitzim. Kaitzim are people that set figs out to dry, or fruits. They set, generally speaking, we talk about drying out figs that are spread out in the fields to dry. So you have people that watch them, that guard the figs in the fields. That's the kaitzim. Sukkas borgenin. Borgenin are huts for guards of a city. City guards, and sukkas shomrei peros, huts used by people that are guarding fruits. Sukkah mikomakom, again that phrase, and we'll have to allude to, we'll have to explain that later. Kshera, all of these are acceptable. Ubelvat shetei misucheches kilchasa, provided it's covered kehalocha. And again, the same thing as we saw before, the Gemara asked, my kehilchasa, what do you mean by that? Omer of chista, v'hu shasa letzeil. Provided the sukkah covering was put on, the branches were put on for shade purposes. So now, what do we have? We've got two sources. Each source spells out specific kinds of sukkahs that are acceptable. We should point out, by the way, in this last source of sukkas rakbash, the four examples included, all of them were Jews. And we, in both sources, we saw the expression sukkah mikomakom. Now, in the second source, we have to read another line of Gemara. The Gemara asks, sukkah mikomakom asuye mai. The expression of sukkah mikomakom in the second source, what does it come to include? What else is acceptable? La suye sukkas ganbach. To include that which was mentioned in the earlier source. Now, what are we seeing? What are we seeing over here? We've got these two sources, but each source has a specific attitude toward that which is mentioned in the other source. Simply put, the first source that listed Ganbach considers those four kinds of sukkah as being better, more significant than the rakbash. The Tana of sukkas rakbash felt that his four kinds of sukkas are more significant than ganbach. The Gemara explains. And we have a double underline, and on the side, we have a mivneh heading, high Tana. That's what's featured under the double underline, or above the double underline. Hesberim lefi shnei ha-braises. These are explanations according to the two braises. Ma adifus shel kol echad al hasheni, ganbach mul rakbash. What is the advantage of each group mentioned in each source respectively over the other group of sukkis? So the Gemara explains. Hai Tana de ganbach. The Tana that listed the sukkas goyim, sukkas noshim, behemo, and kusim as being kosher as sukkas. Alimo le ganbach. Alimo means stronger or more significant. It's more significant for us to allow to machshir, even though we're machshir all of them, but this is easier to be machshir, to allow. Mishum dekvi'i. They are structures that are on a permanent, ongoing basis. They're not something that you would move from week to week, relocate them. They're there on an ongoing, permanent basis. V'katana mikomakom, And that Tana, the Tana of Ganbach, states that we are machshir sukkah mi makom makom lasuye rakbash to include these sukkahs, the royim, kaitzim, etc. The lo kavi, they're not permanent. In other words, if you're a shepherd, for example, so the animals graze in a particular area until they finish the feed over there. Might be a day, might be 2 days. And after that, he picks up his hut. He dismantles his hut and relocates it somewhere else. And the same is with regard to the other item, other examples mentioned in that source. It's lo kavi. It's not permanent. It's not on an ongoing basis. But even so, the Tana of Ganbach is willing to include Rakbash as being kosher. But you can see that it has less significance, hence the less significance is attached to them. But nevertheless, it's kosher. The High Tana de Rakbash, Alimole Rakbash, the second Tanaic source that featured Rakbash, holds that Rakbash is Alimo, more significant, to B'nei Chiyuvonino, because in those four examples, they were all male Jews. Those are people, those are the only people that are obligated in the mitzvah of Sukkah. So since they were booths of people who are obligated in the mitzvah of Sukkah, so they have more significance. V'tana mikomakom, but the Tana also mentioned Sukkah mikomakom, lasuye ganbach, to include even ganbach, even though Delav B'nei Chiyuvoninu, those were booths that were owned or set up by people that are not obligated in the mitzvah. And nevertheless, the chiddush is that even though the booth belonged to those who were not obligated in the mitzvah, if I, who am obligated, happen to use those booths for my mitzvah performance, as long as the schach was put on with the intent of creating shade, I will be able to fulfill my mitzvah. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.